Bibles to 1 John. 1 John. It is neat to think about a new series and to start reading the book of 1 John. The words will jump out at you at abide, and the key word in there is know, and it's exciting to catch that and to realize what God is doing, and He is doing some great things through us and through our Bible reading. Let the book of 1 John come alive this month, okay? Just start reading it. Start reading it. I think there's just over a little 105 verses. It's not long, but it's got some great things. He repeats some things. John does a great job of writing it. We're going to look this morning at John chapter 4, verse 9. We're going to start there in our reading. But I want you to realize that He gives unto us eternal life, and He wants us to know this life, and that's the key. I trust you know that you're saved today, and you know that salvation is available and it's real. He wants you to know eternal life. I want you to think about those words. Wayne's going to come and read for us 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, and a couple verses there.
Would you stand with me as we read, please? If you're using the Pew Bible, these verses are found on page 901. Page 901. We're going to start with 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, and then we're going to drop down to verses 14 and 15. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In verses 14 and 15. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now turn over to chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen.
You may be seated.
It's neat to think about all the salvation here in John, 1 John chapter 4 there. You know, it says God sent, verse 9, 1 John 4, verse 9, God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen? That's the life. He's promised that. And verse 14, He's the Savior of what? The whole world. I like that. Verse 15, he says, now, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. 1 John 5, verse 10, it says, he that believeth, the record, believeth. If you do not believe the record that God made, that God, you know, you're calling God a liar, because He's telling you the truth. And then verse 11, it says, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. This morning, do you have life? You know, are you alive? You know, pinch yourself, and my goodness, to have life and to realize that God gives life. That's being saved. It's wonderful to catch that. You might ask, what is eternal life salvation? What is this thing called eternal life salvation? In 1 John here, I have five things it is. Salvation is Jesus. Salvation is all about about Jesus? Because he's the Son of God. Chapter 1 of 1 John. We're all in 1 John this morning. Shouldn't be hard. So flip around those five chapters. 1 John chapter 1, salvation is all about Jesus. It says in John, 1 John 1:1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, catch all this, which we have seen, note the we there, John himself and others, with our eyes, our own eyes, and have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Did they really experience the very presence and body of Jesus? They saw him, they held him, they talked to him, they listened to him. He really lived. That's one thing our world can't get around. If you go anywhere over into Holy Land, to Jerusalem, they all know that this man called Jesus lived. That is a historical fact. You got to do something with it. Either he was the Son of God who he claimed to be, or he was the biggest phony that ever hit the world, because he really lived. And we have a book here that's written, and it's exciting to see it. Either you have to believe it's false, or you have to believe it's real. And we have all kinds of data of knowing it's real. That's my next sermon series coming, is reasons why we believe the Bible. Excellent. And to catch all of this, to realize that he really lived and he's the word of life. When you hear this from chapter 1, 1 John 1:1, what verse do you think of? John, what? 1:1. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And from the beginning. And then he came as a babe in a manger and lived 33 years and run around with these guys for 3 years. And they saw him, heard him, touched him, watched him eat. They watched him live, watched him die, saw him raised from the grave, saw him ascend into heaven. Is that right? He says, we've seen it. I just love that, because it's salvation is based on Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and he's there. John chapter 1 verse 2, look at it. John 1 verse 2, it says, for the life was manifest. It was revealed in flesh, human flesh, and we have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life, the word of life, eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. We saw God in the flesh in Jesus. And we go, wow. That's why they crucified him. You being a man, you know, claim to be God. Can't be. And he says, I am. I am. He was. He is. And he was manifest. Verse 3. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. That, you know, you haven't seen him. I, John, saw him. Okay? We haven't seen him today. Is that right? But we're trusting John here. And he says, I'm going to tell you about him because I saw him. And I want you to have this same relationship, this same fellowship, because now his fellowship is not physical, it's spiritual in our hearts, and he's coming back. And he says, I want you to experience this same fellowship that I have with him, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And you go, my, that's wonderful to realize that salvation is all about Jesus being God. He is fully God. He is fully God. He is fully man. Isn't it wonderful? You know, we are in the flesh and we have a spirit. And it's wonderful to catch that and to realize. But we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's the first part about salvation. In chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 7, everybody look to it, flow over to it. It gives a doctrinal statement that's huge. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus is one with the Father. And it says in 1 John 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. Read it with me. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Is that pretty good? And he is one with the Father, and now he comes and lives in us in the Holy Spirit. And they all are God. But we only have how many gods?
One.
We don't have three. We have one God. And it's so wonderful to catch that you have to believe that salvation is based totally upon Jesus being the God-man. And it's so important that we catch that. We have a lot of counterfeits going on today. We have a lot of hoaxes and all things and ripoffs. We have coach purses. When we was on our trip, there were places that were selling coach purses for $10. Were they real coach purses? No. Right, Ron Lee calls them knockoffs. Is that what they're called? I don't know what they're called. I thought they was pretty good. I said, babe, buy one. You know, Chris is into Michael Kors purses. I could have bought one for $5. Michael Kors purse. If you don't know, it's better because they're very expensive there, and they don't look any better. Okay, and it's amazing to catch that, and you realize, wow. I also saw some Oakleys there for $10, and I refused to buy them because it was the regular glasses, but it had the word Oakley printed on it. Okay. And if you don't know what Oakleys are, you're a better blessed person, okay? You have some Rolexes. You see Rolexes? $10, you know. Yeah. They probably weren't even good as Timexes. We have a lot of fakes going on around. Jesus had a lot of fakes, too. I was looking at some of these. You know, 7-Eleven. Look at this. This is cool. This is 6-Eleven. Look at the next one. This is better. It's 5-12. I thought that. And then look at this one. Look at this one. Our man. Look at the next one. Look at the next one. Okay. Look at the next one. I like this one. Look at the next one. I like this one too. Look at it real close. Look at the next one. 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 I like this. I want you to know Jesus is the real thing. Put the next one up. That is so important that Jesus is the real thing. This was a problem in John's day. Look at chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Just don't. Somebody says, you know, this is a coach purse or whatever. This is a Rolex and not a Timex. No, try it out. We find follow Jesus. Is there people following the name of Jesus that aren't really following the biblical Jesus today? Yes, it's very rampant. And he says, folks, it was rampant in John's day. It's rampant in our day. And we need to test these things because everybody, it says, they're followers of Jesus are not followers of the biblical Jesus. Look what it says here. 1 John chapter 4. I trust you're with me, everybody, teenagers. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets, many in our day and that day, are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here it is. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Is that very important? It's all about Jesus and he's God. Okay? Verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, against Christ. They look like Christ. They're clones of Christ. They're counterfeits of Christ. They are fabricated. They are generics. Okay? They're not the real Jesus. The real Jesus is only the one that's God in flesh. And he says, they're not, they're Antichrist. Verse 3, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is coming to the world. Verse 5, jump down to verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Do we see some things that aren't quite Jesus and the world just clings to them and they call themselves Christians? Not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. They must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a heavy statement here. If they do not believe that, they're not Christians. Verse 6, it says, "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Is that pretty plain? Chapter 2, verse 22. Flow down. Chapter 2, verse 22. "Who is a liar?" That's a big statement. "But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." If you say, "I'm a follower of Jesus," but you deny that he's one with the Father, you're not following the biblical Jesus. If you're following Jesus and you say, "Well, there's three gods," no, there's only one. And it's very important that we realize that we must have the biblical Jesus, because salvation is all about Jesus, who is the divine in flesh, God-man, and also he's the Christ, the Savior of the world. And he's the one and only. There's no others. He doesn't share it with Muhammad or Buddha or anything. And it's very important that we understand that there's a lot going on today that Jesus isn't the real one. It's just, and also it's got to be the biblical Jesus. I like the Jesus according to me. You know, Jesus, he's a nice guy, but all the things in the Bible, they're just suggestions. No. If Jesus said it, is it truth? Whether you believe it or not, it's truth. And we must follow Jesus. We're just not following our own Christianity or what we make. There are many, many people, many preachers, many churches moving into that area that they can just say anything. And it's a movement that is progressing in many, many churches, that the Bible is not our core standard of what we live. And we can just use it as a guideline, but it's not, you know, what I think about it's more important, or how I feel is more important. No, Jesus is the key to being saved. The biblical Jesus, the full Jesus, fully God, fully man, and that's it. Very, very important. Secondly, we have salvation is truthful. It is holy. It is. It just says that God is the one and only. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And you have to believe that he is truly the one. Chapter 1, verse 5. Flow back to chapter 1, verse 5. Big statement here. It says, "This then is the message," chapter 1, 1 John, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light," that he gives direction, right direction, "and in him is no darkness at all." There is no lifelessness, no emptiness, no lostness at all. And he is the one that's going to lead us and guide us very strongly. He's the foundation. He's solid. He's genuine. He's real. He's the perfect. He's impeccable. He's righteous. He's reliable. And it's so important to catch that and to realize he's the one that's trustworthy, fully trustworthy, and we can stand on him. He is truthful. Also, he is the one that is reliable. Catch all of these. He has all of these trustworthy responsibilities and reliable. You can trust him. He's the truth, because there is no darkness in him, only light. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. To know that the salvation is all about Jesus being the Son of God. Secondly, to have salvation that is truthful, that is holy, that is perfect, that is righteous. He's the only one. 1 John chapter 3, it says, "That ye may know that he was manifested, became flesh, to take away the sin, our sins, and in him is no," what? "Sin." He's totally truthful, totally righteous. righteous, and he's the righteous one. He's the truthful one. He's the holy one. And my salvation is based on Jesus being divine, and my salvation is built on him being totally truthful and righteous and holy. It's all him. It's not me being righteous and holy. It's all him. I'm trusting Jesus, the divine one, and the righteousness of God to save me. He's going to give me his righteousness, and I'm going to give him my sin. And that's what salvation is all about. And you realize, wow, that's wonderful. Thirdly in salvation here is forgiveness. Look at chapter 3, verse 1 again. Chapter 3, verse 5 again. It says, "And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins." It's wonderful. Chapter 1, verse 7, the last part of it. Everybody go there. Chapter 1, verse 7. He came to take away my sins. Chapter 1, verse 7, the last part says, "The blood," read it with me, "the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son," does what? "Cleanses us from..." Wow. He's Jesus, he's divine, he's all truthful, he's righteous, and then he's going to forgive me of all my sins. That is the most beautiful thing earthly of my salvation. It's so great to catch that. Verse 9, 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess, you have to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, is that right? What's it say? All, everybody say all. All unrighteousness. That's what he's promised. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John 2, verse 1. "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, he is an advocate, a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." See, he's Jesus and he's righteous, and that makes him able to forgive us. Is that right? That's so important to have those first two, and then we receive forgiveness. It says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous," verse 2, "and he is the propitiation," the down payment for our sins, the full payment for our sins, "and not only ours only." Here's we. John is writing in the first century, and he's talking about them there, but here he's talking about you and me. Look at it. It says, "And he is the propitiation," the payment, the full payment for my sins on the cross by his blood, by his death. "And not for ours only," I love this right here, "but also for the sins of" what? "The whole world of all times." And that's you and me in 2016. Oh, you know, he's Jesus, he's God. He is totally righteous. He is truthful. And he can forgive me. That's just awesome. Verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." That verse is written in past tense. It is already forgiven. I'm forgiven. I preach it a lot and I say it a lot. You need to live forgiven. You do not need to let past sins keep you from present victory. If you've confessed the sin to the best of your ability before God, are you forgiven? Well, then start living like it. Sometimes we let the devil just creep in and mention our guilt, and we are guilty. But we're forgiven. Get. I paid that. You know, I know of a man who murdered somebody. He spent 20 years in jail, and now he's out of jail, and he paid his debt. That's what society said. He was good for four. He had a 40-year sentence and spent 20 years in good. Found Jesus, is a Bible preacher today, and it's cool. He's a murderer. Is he forgiven? That's a heavy one. It's heavy. He's forgiven. Is he still guilty? Yes, but is he forgiven? That's, he lived forgiven. And it's so beautiful to catch that. And then once we have the true Jesus and truthfulness and forgiveness, then we have life. Salvation is life. And it gives us purpose, both now and forever, meaning. It's the opposite of death. It's supernatural. It's from the old to the new. It's a change. Metamorphosis. Don't you love this picture here? Metamorphosis from the old ugly worm, huh? To the caterpillar, to the butterfly. I just love butterflies, don't you? But they were ugly at one time. You know, they changed. Is that right? They morphed from this to this. And God wants you to morph from death to life, to have the supernaturalness of God in you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Look at it. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. Even what? Eternal life. Don't just think of it being in heaven and you're going to start living when you get in heaven. No, live right now. Let it live. Get life right now. It's new life. Aren't you glad there's some past sins that you used to do that you don't anymore? You know, there's some words you used to say you don't say anymore. There's places you used to go that you don't go anymore. Things you used to look at you don't look at anymore. Is that right? The old has passed and the new has come, and it's still coming. And rejoice in that. That's the joy. It's life. It's not death. The wages of sin is what? Death, misery. But Jesus is life. And it changes your life. And you just realize you've changed. I love to see a person that when they go back to their old friends after they've gotten saved, and they say to them, "You've changed." That's how you know. Life. Life. And only God can do that. Only God can turn it. Put the next one up there. Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victor. Huh? A victory. And it's very important. God changes you. And we have that change happens in our life. And it's just wonderful to catch that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not what? Life. The last one is joy. It's only one verse in 1 John about joy. It's 1 John 1, verse 4. Very short verse. But this is what salvation is. This is what it all is. And once you know Jesus, then you have total righteousness, truthfulness, and then you have forgiveness, life, and joy. 1 John 1, verse 4, it says, "And these things write unto you, that your joy may be what? Your joy may be what? Your joy may be what?" It's very, very important that we see the invisible. We fight for it. We struggle with our flesh and find victory. You know, we don't quench, you know, it's the only thing that quenches out. Water might not quench it out, but God does. And when all you have is to hope in God, you have enough. And it's neat to have real joy. Look at this next thing here. Real joy. Put this up. That in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says, look at it there. "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings." How can you do that? Knowing, here's how, that suffering produces what? Endurance. And endurance produces what? Character. And character produces what? Confidence. Because God, I don't like all the things going on in my life, the bad things, the hard things, the tough things, the things I don't like. But all I know is if I look for God in the midst of them, I find His joy. And joy comes from hanging on to God, and we suffer, and then it produces some strength and endurance. And if we keep enduring, we produce character, and then we produce hope, strength, hope, confidence. And it is so important that we have that, because real joy. Look at the next one there. It says, joy is not the absence of affliction, but having the Lord's comfort to deal with them. Happiness is not found in our material belongings, but found in our personal relationship with our Lord. Thanksgiving is not having what you want, but being content with what you... It's good stuff. That we have joy and it comes alive in our lives so we can know Jesus. And 1 John 4:14, it says, and we have seen and do testify, chapter 4:14, that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And to realize that that's what I got. He's to give me salvation. It's all about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's God-man. It's all about truthfulness, that He's holy, holy. He's righteous. And since He is God and righteous, He can forgive me. And if I claim forgiveness, I have life. It starts to change. It starts to grow. The old starts falling off. The new starts coming. Is that right? And you realize there's a change happening in me. It's life. And then that life produces joy. Do you know if you miss joy this side of heaven, you miss the greatest reason for being saved this side of heaven, is joy. And I don't like things going bad, but it's neat to see people who have struggles, and all of us have struggles in different areas. Is that true? Every person here this morning struggling in some area. Okay? And either you've allowed that area to just dominate your mind, or you've said, my God's bigger than that area. And you either you're looking at that area or you're looking at God. Is that true? And that gives you joy. And that's what salvation, eternal salvation, is joy. The results is joy. And it's just wonderful to catch that and realize this is great. This is great to have joy. Next Sunday, if you want to write these down, you can. These are the love verses of 1 John. They're great verses. 2, 5, 10, 15, 17, 3, 16, 18, 4, 7 to 12, 19 to 21. That's just John, 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4. Just read those. 2, 3, 2 to 4. It is important that we realize that God gives us that, and this is the record. 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He gives it to us. It's called grace. We don't deserve it. We just receive it, and it's wonderful. And you realize, God, thank you for this. We're going to show a video real quick here. It's only a minute and a half. Do you have salvation? Has there been a time in your life where you repented and you received Jesus as your Savior? Listen to this. This is real good.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to Him. Repentance is simply giving up. To stop fighting against God and to stop attempting to gain your own salvation through your own works, to literally give up and fall upon Christ. That is salvation. So that you say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And when that seed grows in you to the point where you know that you're standing before God is 100 absolutely percent based and founded upon the perfect work and merit of Jesus Christ, then you stand before Him with confidence, knowing that all your sins have been atoned for and that you are righteous in Christ. Come to Him.
Let God speak to your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're sure you're saved, get to joy every day. Jesus, his righteousness, his forgiveness, his life changing joy. If you're not sure you're saved, don't leave today. Linger around. Talk to a person that brought you, a person you know, myself. Man, find Jesus. Find Jesus. Because to find Jesus is forgiveness, life, and joy. Because he's God and he's the righteous one. Wow. Christians, revel, worship, rejoice in knowing salvation, know eternal life.